Before we get started, let's
go ahead and take a moment of silent prayer, and then we'll get started.
Let's pray.
Dear Father, we thank you for the lesson. Thank you for showing us your way and your will. We know it's important. We know it's our life. So we just pray that we can absorb it as much as possible and apply it to our lives. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So Philippians 3:8 says, "More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ." And the first word that we wanted to look at was surpassing value here. And this is actually a compound word. You can see. You see the preposition in the beginning, it's huper, means above. And then echo is to hold. So literally it means to hold above. To hold something above that is obviously surpassing in value. So this Paul is saying that he knows of the surpassing greatness and value in what he's telling us, that what he used to consider as this kind of value in Christ, and now he switched his thinking, and now that value has risen to the top in his priorities. So this is an understanding that he's come to, that everything else is a disadvantage to him. The word knowing here is to have an intellectual grasp and understanding. He says the surpassing value of knowing, having an understanding of who Christ is. That's what we do. That's what we do every time we learn about anything in our Bible study. We come to know Christ. We come to further understand his thinking. We come to understand his plan for us. So that's what the word knowing actually means. To come to an intellectual grasp of something. And that's what we do. So every day. And part of that means we have to understand before we can think that way ourselves. Part of the Christian life is being able to have the ability to think with the mind of Christ in every circumstance that we're in. But if we don't understand how we're supposed to do that, how are we going to take on that thinking? And that's what the word means. Paul, he knows the value of that understanding because that's our life. That's the Christian way of life. Thinking is your life. Because what comes out of your mouth comes from your thinking. What is behind your actions comes from your thinking. So knowing Christ is kind of the pivot point in what everything else goes off of. Right there, your relationship. Knowing, understanding. Because we don't know it all. We have to learn, continually learn. We're human. We forget. You know, we slept last night. Some of us can't remember what we did yesterday. But a good verse for this is 1 John, let's see. 1 John 2:15. It says, I think I have a slide for that. It says, "Do not love the world nor the things in the world." That's an imperative. There's our command. Do not love the world or the things in the world. The same idea as we've been talking about in the first service. That covers the all things Paul was referring to. I was calling those the physical things. And then it says, "If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." This doesn't mean you're not a believer. This is just saying where your priorities are, that's the thing where your concentration is. And where your concentration is where your love is. Whether it be in the physical or whether it be in the spiritual. This is talking about who you love or what you love. Verse 16, it says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world." It's from the world. These are the things, and everything that we're hearing in these in this verse is what? Lust, more lust, and the result is what? Self-righteousness. Lust, lust, and then self-righteousness. So, and none of these are from the Father. And that's why we can't love the Father if you love the things of the world, because your priorities are backwards. It can't happen. You're basically excluding, ignoring, because this is more important right here. Not that. Not him. So, by the way, lust isn't love. Lust isn't love. And lust of the world is not love of the Father. That's a given, right? So as much pain and suffering as is in this world, it's kind of a relief to know that. Even though at times we do have our focus on those things, we still come up to that spot, we come up empty. We come up frustrated because they leave us in those positions. So the fact that this is telling us that this world is not where our thought pattern has to stay. Not at all. Even though we may leave it there for an extended period of time, and it may take us to down those roads where we don't want to go, that's not the only option. We've got another option. We have another way to think. We can redirect that to a better place. And that's what he means when he's talking about the love of the Father. So this has to be a thought pattern. As you know, there are people, many people, we deal with people every day. That's the majority of where your spiritual tests come from, whether it be by discipline or whether it be just a test. It's the people who you associate with. That's where they come from. Not from your dog, although they might test you from time to time too. But the point about it is your testing is going to come from 95 or 99% people. People can and will hurt you. In fact, they will hurt you to the point where you thought there could be no other hurt that could hurt so bad. But think about that. That's the way we think about this. That's the way we are thinking about this. That's not what they're doing. That's just the way we're perceiving and taking this in, and that's in our mind. How could they hurt me this way so bad? That's a thought process. Guess what? That's an option. That is an option. That's not an immediate or mandatory reaction or thought process of whatever happens from people. Because remember, the circumstances are not optional. But what we do with those circumstances are. To love the Father means to take every difficult and painful situation that this world throws at you and take it as from the Lord. From the Lord. And use His word and your love for Him to dismiss any heartache, pain, stress, and replace it with spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding. Which includes discernment, unconditional love for other people that have hurt you. Unconditional love. Because they'll continue to hurt you. Because they're human. They're human. And you will continue to hurt them. Because you're human. It's not all them. And it's not all you. It's all of us. We all have sin natures. And this, a lot of this has to do because, remember, Paul said the love of the Father is not in them. We're all believers. We know we are gaining a love, a relationship. We're growing in that relationship. But if your focus is on other things, the result is you're going to hurt other people. Because that love has directions that it goes that are out of your own self. Put it like that. It affects other people. That love, that lust, whatever it may be, that's not just going to affect you. It's going to affect other people. So we have to allow God to be at the helm of our life is what we need to do every day. Because we do have the ability to live a life that surpasses anything in this world. Anything. I don't care how bad or how many times someone thinks they can hurt you. What you have in your soul protects you from anything and everything the world has to offer or throw at you. God has a purpose for it. And in order to see that purpose, instead of fighting it, how many times do we fight it? We always fight it. Struggle, it causes a rip. We're trying to figure out a way around it. How do I fix this problem? Instead of fighting it, what should we do? Instead of coming up with our own solutions that don't work and allowing ourselves to be hurt over and over and over again, we need to embrace what's going on, what's happening, and we need to realize God has a purpose for it. That's number one. The second thing is we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You're not going to get through this on your own. Confession of sin is a top priority. If you want to stay in tune in your fellowship with God the Father, stay in tune with your confession of sin. So we have to embrace it, because if we follow these steps, we also, what are we trying to do? We're trying to glorify God in the circumstances. Remember that? We're not trying to solve. We're not trying to get around. We're not trying to figure out another way. We just want to glorify God because we love Him. And we want to use His techniques from Scripture, and we want to apply them to the circumstances. And if we don't, what's it going to end with? Pain, suffering, frustration, every single time. And a lot of times we keep bumping our heads against that, saying, because we're trying to make it work, something that can't work. And we've already mentioned that. This life isn't long. God is wanting us all to grow up. That's what He wants us to do. He wants us to grow up. And guess what's going to get tough? Maybe those situations. Maybe that pain could get tough. That's opportunity. That's an opportunity for you to grow up, for you to apply the doctrine that you know, and to glorify God. That's really what this is all about. So with that being said, we've all still got a chance. We're alive. We've still got a chance. This thinking is a possibility for all of us. However long we all have, we're here. So we have to think about these things differently. And we have to welcome adversity. I know you're thinking, yeah, well, I was good up until that point. Right? Yeah, I know. But trust me, you have to welcome adversity. Unfortunately, but fortunately, because it ends good, you have to welcome it. You have to welcome it. Because God has a specific reason for it. And it's all for your benefit. Every single bit of it. And He's going to provide you with the information that we need at just the right time. He does it every time. If you stay consistent in your spiritual growth, he's going to give you the resources you need to get through it, no matter what. That's just who he is. I don't make this. He makes this. It's not from me. If it was from me, I don't know what I'd come up with. This life isn't long, so we must welcome it. Because think about the other option if you don't welcome it. What does it look like? You'll be ruined by it. Ruined by it. Remember the frustration, the problem solving? It just keeps, there's no end to us focusing on the problem. It's no other option. Either you welcome it or you let it ruin you. You let it set you back in your spiritual life. There's only two options. That's it. Think about that. We don't think about that a lot. We just go into it and say, this is the heck with everything. We let it get to us. But that's not the correct option. We've chosen to go that route. We have. We've chosen to go that route. So either you meet the adversity with open arms and objectivity, or you reject the opportunity that God is giving you and you fail the test and fail to glorify God. There's a lot that goes with that. There's a lot of decisions that lead up to that point that we can say, I want to do this instead of this. It's black and white. It's a no-brainer, but we have a sin nature. And sometimes it gets away from us. And we can let it run for a while and before we'd say, ah, what am I doing? What am I doing? So it's interesting that the pain and the suffering of the mind are a direct result of us not fully allowing God to solve our problems. Remember, the adversity, the person is not the problem. It's the mind. The mind is the problem. Because it's who are you allowing to solve your problem? Think about every single problem you have right now. Ever since you were younger, you still have the same problem. Who are you allowing to solve that problem? Yourself. Or you would no longer have that problem. I've done it. You do it. But it's the truth. We would no longer have the problems that we have if we give it up to God. We say that all the time, but we don't do it in practice. We don't do it in practice. So, because both of these are optional. Pain and suffering are optional. Optional. I'm not talking about physical pain. I'm talking about mental pain here. Optional. So, and you know, we look back on our lives and say, yeah, well, I shoulda, coulda, woulda. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. We all have that. We all do that. But now what do you do with it is the question. We're here. We're now. We're not then. We can't change then. We're here. It says in verse 8, For whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Suffered the loss here. This is actually a verb, and that we've actually been seeing, and it means to focus. The focus on this word is on the experience of the loss, the experience of the loss. So Paul is saying that we will experience suffering as we forfeit these things in our minds. Because remember, this, you have to come up to that point in your thinking to be able to count whatever it is in your thinking as less of a priority than God himself. And that process includes suffering. It does. But I'm still maintaining that that is optional. But the nature of a human being in spiritual growth, there's going to be some suffering, as you all are well aware of. So it means to experience the loss of something with implication of undergoing hardship or suffering. So we all have things that we've been talking about that we wish would not go away, that we could keep, we could enjoy, we could experience. But all these things are the things that have a potential to be forfeited. You've got to start thinking about them like that. They have a potential to be forfeited. Maybe not necessarily completely get rid of them, but remember, that's a thought process. It's a thought process. It's how important you, much emphasis you place on that thing. God has to rise to the top. So, and that can be sad. You can have a sense of wonderment. It can bring hurt inside of the thought of losing whatever you hold dear to you. And that is never necessarily a fun thing. But guess what? The Word of God helps you come to an understanding to where you know you are making the right decision. Because I know what hurts me personally. You know what hurts you personally in your life. And to come to the conclusion and understanding from the Word of God that, okay, this is time to take it off its little pedestal and move it down. That's a good place to be. But you have to understand it, or you will never move it from the place where it is. You will never take it off the shelf and move it down. It'll stay at the top priority because it's a weakness. It's a weakness. So you want to keep moving it up there, but guess what? It's really not that important. Did you know that? It's not worth risking your entire spiritual life over. It's not worth risking your relationship over. A marriage, a friendship, your relationship with Christ, is it? No. No. So think about what we're placing emphasis on and think about lowering the priority. Think about moving it down, because what we're risking is a lot more than we can ever imagine. It's just endless, the repercussions, not only to us, but other people, other people. God provides these things for a reason, just to make us grow. So the passive voice here is saying that we will receive the suffering of the lost because of our emphasis, here it is, on them that inevitably cause us pain to see them go. See how we are the ones that are placing the emphasis on whatever it is. You put the fill in the blank. So the pain comes from where your priorities are on that thing. That's the pain. So if you can't get to that understanding of how less important it should be, you're just not there. Keep growing. But I'm here to tell you that's the way we should do it, right here. There's a procedure, there's an understanding we have to go to, and there's a priority. What are they? Many of these things, we already said that we are the cause of them not being the way God has designed them to be. Ever think about that? From our own bad decisions back here, we are the cause for the way things are today. Things can last that long. Things can last till you die. But look what God did. He said, I know what your problem was going to be, even now. So I provided a buffer for you. I provided a protection for you. I provided something that redirects your focus towards me. Because this wouldn't have gotten you anywhere. What your priority was over here wouldn't have, it would have kept getting you off focus, off guard, off guard, off guard, off focus, off me. So I put this in place to cause you pain, suffering, heartache for one reason. That's it. To grow spiritually. To go to that next level. It's not about that problem. It's not about that weakness. It's about who is your priority. Who is your love? Where is your love going? Is it lust or is it love? We need to figure that out. Because there's two completely different things. So, and many times these, you know, like I said, these can be unfortunate and sad when we look at the big picture. But remember what we're talking about. We're not talking about perfect human beings here. We're talking about people that, you know, we have to learn. We have to learn. And one of the ways we learn is by making wrong decisions. And that's okay. There's nothing necessarily wrong with that. It's just by design. Don't leave here and, you know, oh man, this is heck. No. This is opportunity. This is opportunity for you. Because now we can see those things and we say, you know what? Yeah, that, you know, it's a problem. I know it's a problem. But I know I need to move it down on the list. I need to move it down. Because if you don't, it will never stop causing you the pain and suffering that it does. It will never stop. Think about that. That's what we choose to put up on ourselves. When we keep and we hold this thing and we hope and we pray for it, it will never work. Never. Because it wasn't designed to work the way you want it to work. That's fair. Okay, I'm not using it the way it should work. Okay, let's do something different. Let's do it God's way. He always provides a better way. On top of that, Paul says, he goes even farther, and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ. It's a word in green. Skubalon. So you can see the word rubbish actually doesn't really do this word justice. It means excrement, manure, feces. That cleared up. So the point of this word is to think of something that is completely useless. And in fact, something to stay away from. There's no value in waste. Well, some of y'all are thinking, hey, in the garden, that manure will go a long way. That's not what this verse is talking about. That's not what this is referring to. This is referring to something that has no value at all in your life. That's how Paul is viewing these. He says, and count them but rubbish, excrement, so that, and by the way, this word, skubalon, is only found one time in the Bible. This is one of those hapax legomenas where that just tells me the emphasis is placed on the word. The emphasis is placed on what Paul is saying here. That's where his value, his scale of values is on these things. They are at zero to him. Actually, they're negative because if he goes back to them, they're going to detract. He says, so that, and then this is a conjunction and it indicates the purpose. Why the purpose of Paul doing this? Paul counted these things as waste, things to be tossed out for the purpose of gaining Christ. Gaining Christ. And now you can see why the word is used. Because we are talking about comparing our ultimate purpose and goal in life versus putting our eyes on the things of this world. That's the difference. Paul's just bringing that out in this word right here. That's it. There's no comparison between these two. There's no value to be gained in one and eternal value to be gained in another. Being that we get distracted by the things of this world. And then when it's all said and done, what? Like we said, we can't take them with us. They're temporal. Temporary. We've got permanent or we've got temporary. Gain. What you are doing right, investment. It's a spiritual investment. No doubt about it. So the point of an investment, as we know it, obviously, is for the purpose of what? Getting a return. Whether it be physical, spiritual, it's a return. Right? That's the whole purpose. So you got to ask yourself, what are you investing in? Those things that Paul was investing in are what he is investing in now. Those are the things that we need to invest in. Because the return is not temporary. It's something that's internal in your soul, and you're going to take it with you. You're going to take it with you. So when you think about, you might think about retirement differently now, huh? Physical retirement. So many people put so much emphasis saving up, storing, planning on that physical. What about the spiritual retirement? You ever think about that one? That's the only one that counts. The physical retirement, you can't take it with you. Can't take those monthly checks with you. They're going to get cut off. They're going to be happy when you die. They don't have to pay you anymore. Guess what? Eternal retirement is unending. That's where we should be putting our money, which means your time and your thinking. That's your investment right there. That's a return. It's a return. Eternal. So we have to ask ourselves when we're unhappy, not satisfied, and wondering, you know, why some imaginary picture that we have in our mind isn't doing the trick. It's because you've invested in the wrong thing. That's all there is to it. You've just invested your thoughts, your time, your devotion, your life, everything into the wrong thing. And what I mean by that is your priorities were wrong. God was second to what you were placing that investment in. And we've got to just switch them around. That's all there is to it. There's a fix. It's just we have to switch them. There's always a fix. We just have to recognize first. That's what the Word of God does. It allows us to recognize things in our lives. Say, okay, I see that now. I know it now. And now I can go and fix it. Not you personally, but you know what to do. You know who fixes it. So it's all about spiritual investment. What are you investing in? Because a lot of times we invest in, like Paul said, excrement. And we expect return out of that. We do. We expect it to either get better or whatever we expect, that we're expecting a return. So we already said that's something that may be never happening. So area of investment is important. Now, don't take this to mean that completely stop or just get rid of or just stop hanging out with or stop any extracurricular activities, hobbies, etc. I'm not talking about that. If you've taken that message from this, that's completely wrong. If it does need to be cut out, well, take it upon yourself to have the discernment to figure that out. But what I'm saying is, just put it in perspective. Put it in the right perspective. It goes over here on the bottom shelf, not up here. You don't necessarily have to just completely get rid of or stop necessarily unless it's sinful. Well, you know, that's a given. But I'm just saying, it can be sinful in the thinking because we lust after it. And that's where the priority thing comes into play. See, we might not necessarily be committing a physical sin, but it can be a sin in our of the thinking. That's where it gets tricky. But we need to identify those things because you won't move forward. You'll keep having that heartache, that frustration, because it's a priority in your thinking. Proper place. So this is critical. So we have to get to that point where, you know, and sometimes we do. We sometimes, as people, we have to get to that point where we just sit up and say, okay, this isn't going to work. This just isn't working. I've been trying to make it work, and it's just not working. Whatever it is in your life, there's always something that you keep trying to make work. That's the thing that you're putting too much emphasis on. That's it. It's funny how God shows us that. Isn't it kind of a relief, though, to think that you don't have to have that anxiety, that heartache, that frustration? Because when you just simply move that priority above the one you placed up here, that goes away. It's no longer your problem, is what I'm telling you. You've moved on. God is telling you, okay, that's what I wanted you to do in the first place. That's what I wanted you to do 10, 15, 20 years ago. And now you're doing it. Now you're coming to that realization, and you can move forward. That was the whole point of the problem in the first place. Why you're even weak in that area to begin with, because God wants you to overcome it. That's why. Defeat and overcome it. And I already mentioned this, but I want to mention it again. We tend to overlook these things. We tend to overlook them. Because these are, like I said, these are something that you may enjoy, and they may fall into whatever area of weakness your sin nature prefers. So the fact of the matter is, you're already aware of it. You're already aware of it. I don't need to come, like Roy used to say, do you want me to come sit by your side and we can talk about it? No, you don't. And I don't want to know either. Sorry. That's between you and the Lord. But I'm just saying, we all know. We all know what we do. We all know what we like. We all know what we gravitate to. We all know our weaknesses. I'm not speaking to the choir here. But we tend to overlook them. But once we come to that understanding where we can easily identify them, and guess what? Be held accountable for them. So every one of you here, you heard it. So if you keep allowing it to happen, what are you basically telling God? I've heard what your word says. I've seen it through Paul. I've seen the thinking that I'm to apply. And I would rather place it up here. The results aren't good. The results are not good. That can cause shortened life. It can cause problems in relationships. It can cause rifts in families. There are repercussions to say, I don't want to do it God's way. Always repercussions to that. Always. The subjunctive mood of gaining Christ means that it's not a guarantee. Remember, it's how we shift. It's how, if you want to shift things, want to shift your priorities, that's the gain. What are you investing in? That's the gain. Because remember, it's not a guarantee that you will continue to invest in Christ. Not a guarantee. We all have a sin nature. So the amount of profit you receive will depend entirely on you. And that goes back to free will. Decisions, decisions, decisions. That's one of the blessings of this life, is decisions. Or the curses, depending on how you look at it. But it's a blessing. Because God is showing us that He is God. Through your decisions. He's showing us that He will win this entire angelic conflict that we're in now against evil. He's going to show Satan, through your free will decision process, that He is God. And He doesn't play around. And His word is very true. absolute truth. He will show us that, whether we're on board or not on board. Doesn't matter, because he's using evil for his good. So Philippians 3:9, and I think this is where we'll stop. Let me read the verse. Oh, don't have it for you. It says, "And may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but from that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith." So next time we get to hear about righteousness. Righteousness that is not... Because look, according to this verse, there's two different kinds of righteousness going on here. Two different things. So we just need to look at them, know about them, so we can use the right one. Because we all have our own self-righteousness as well. So let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your grace. We know that you are always thinking ahead of us, and we're just hoping that we can follow your lead. Because you're waiting, always waiting with open arms for us. And we know that you provide it when we need it. You provide it at just the right time in our lives. And you will never stop doing that. And through that, we continue to love you even more. And we pray that if there is anyone here or that will hear this message, that they have the opportunity to come to the same understanding because of your Son, Jesus Christ. Because you sent him to the earth for one reason, and that was to pay the penalty for the sins of the entire world. And what that means for us is that we are no longer separated from you in a relationship with you if we choose to be. Because you said, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. And you did that in love. You loved us. And you knew we couldn't do anything for it. We couldn't work for it. We couldn't say anything for it. We couldn't do sacraments for it. There's nothing we can do for it. That's why you gave it to us for free. Your grace. By grace we are saved through faith, and that is a gift of God, so that we cannot boast. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love to us. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
My soul thirsts for you, and my flesh yearns for you in a dry night.